Oh, the kids, thank you, Honey Carol. The kids, go out now to Kids Church. Amazing, Carol has them today. Yep, now all the kids are running now, yep. Thanks, Carol.
One, two. We right, Barry? Want to welcome back Sherry and Chris. Hope you come back refreshed, hit the ground running already on Friday. Awesome time. Praise God. And for all our guests today, God bless you. So lovely to see you. I hope you got a hug by someone and just feel right at home in the house of the Lord. Can I get you to upstanding again? I see a lot of gaps around here, and that's why I'm having you stand. Can you folks just move right over close? I like to preach to not have too much of a wandering eye. I like to sort of bunch people up a little bit. You can get cuddly, that's all right. Close. Nobody bites here. Not too hard, at least. Remain standing. I just love that last song we had just before communion. And I believe, I'm sorry the musicians took off on me, but I just want to invite you to say to the Lord, I love you.
I love you, Dad.
Can we just, before we come to the word this morning, let's just raise our hands and tell him how much we love him. Tell him that you're so happy you're to be in his house, to worship him, that he's worth every minute of your time. He's worthy of your praise. He's worthy of our thanksgiving for the sacrifice that he has so graciously poured out. We just want to tell you, Papa Daddy, that we love you. And we want to surrender any of our own thoughts, any of our own ideologies, Lord, and just bring them under the authority of the cross. And we want to say, thank you, Jesus, that you are everything we need. Lord, I don't know what the needs are out there in hearts, but you do. And I pray that your word will be quick and sharp as a two-edged sword, Lord, piercing and dividing between the soul and the spirit. And I pray, Lord, that this word will be effective and will touch each one of us. We just say we love you, Lord, and we thank you that you loved us so much that you came. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thanks, bro. Well, as you know, we're studying the book of Proverbs, and I'd invite you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 7. As we come to this message this morning, I want to direct your attention to the fact that Pastor Matt has already preached on this message, chapter 7, before. And, in contemplation of the message, I was thinking, wow, I think he did a far better job than I could even start or begin to share. And I want to just acknowledge our pastor. He has such a beautiful heart. And we are so blessed. God bless you, Matt. We're just so blessed to have him as our pastor and know his heart toward us. And it's an honor for me to stand in this pulpit today and share with you. And thank you, Matt, for your trust and your aid to us today. We're going to not only look in chapter 7, but we'll be also looking in chapter 8. Because I believe there's such a beautiful balance within the context of looking at both these chapters. Let's begin by reading verses 1 to 5 of chapter 7. And the word of the Lord says, my son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your nearest kin, that they may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. I want to expand this a little bit this morning, that we're not only talking about an adulterous woman, or not only talking about the flattery of sin, but we're talking about any temptation that can take hold of us. Sometimes we have blind spots. Anybody? Sometimes we have blind spots, and when you're learning to drive, they teach you about the periphery vision, that area or extent of your vision to know how far you can see off to the side. And how many have had a recent eye test? As one that's just going through learning about diabetes, one of the first things they test is your eyes. They try the puff test in your eye. They see how, whether your eyes are changing, because some of the things that that disease affects are your eyes and your feet. I want to say that sometimes things broadside us, some things come on our blind side. And the word of the Lord says, if we get wisdom, if we get knowledge, if we wrap it upon our hands, if we keep it as the apple of our eye, it will guard our hearts. It will keep us. Psalms 103 says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. We've got to get the word of God, not just from the book, but into the heart. Amen. Because from the heart, the mouth speaks. True? You listen where a person's really at, all you have to do is listen what they're saying. And I would challenge you today, the word of the Lord says that we are to be slow to speak. Slow to speak. I hear people sometimes rattle off and they speak before they think. And I've done that too. My hand's up. I'm not pointing any fingers because they're all pointing at me. But one of my challenge to you is that we must be slow to speak, slow to wrath, and quick to hear. That's why God gave us two ears and one mouth. Anybody tell their kids that? That's a good one. You know, just to remind us that we should be more hearers and then let that hearing penetrate our hearts for a challenge of our thinking. Now, as I contemplated what these first five verses talked about, the word says that we are to have it as the apple of our eye. The apple of the eye is sort of as the pupil, the Amplified says. And to bind them on your fingers and write them on the tablets of your heart. Pastor Matt said, write it on the person's back neck that's sitting in front of you, if you need to, but get it. Get a hold of it. Because something has to transpire to transfer the words of this page into our hearts. Now, I was thinking also about Sister Carol talking about Israel and even some of the Jewish people that wear philanthropies on top of their heads. Anybody seen that? They wear this little skull hat, but they also have these boxes sitting. Anybody seen that? Yeah. Am I saying the truth? Yeah. Okay. They wear these little boxes, and they also wear like a prayer shawl that Brother Dennis gave me one. They also have some things that they wrap around their hands. So they're quite literal in what they do in trying to get something communicated into their hearts. You know, sometimes we move away from traditions, but sometimes traditions are good if they have a purpose to direct us on the right path. And God's word is trying to say to us to get something practical, something that will occupy our focus, something that we can wrap around our hands, something that will guard our hearts. Are we getting this? Because really, Too many things are distracting. Too many things rob our hearts and our focus. And we trip up. Oh, I didn't see that. And when you trip up, you can't blame anybody. Come on. Do you like that? Because most of us do. Adam was the first one. It's that woman you gave me, Lord. We always look to pass the buck. We want to blame somebody else. But the reality is when you blame someone, it's all pointing back at you. And what God wants to do is get our focus and our attention to the fact that we are accountable and that we must do something. Verse 4 says, say to wisdom, you're my sister. How many love your sisters? I do. Call understanding your nearest kin. Boy, oh boy. Wisdom and understanding walking next to you. I want it. I want it. You know, the thing that I focus in so much on our study here, wisdom, is that we're not just talking about something personified, but we're talking about Jesus. We really want Jesus. We want his wisdom. We want his counsel. We want him. Come on, I should hear 1,000 amens in this place. Truly, we want God's wisdom. We want Jesus walking alongside us and counseling our hearts. Counseling us on where we're walking. Because we, like someone prayed this morning, we lean on our own understanding. The way of the world is, I did it my way. This is the I generation. I. And we, the church, must arise above that. It's him. Now, that reminded me, I didn't give you the announcements. Pastor Matt said, okay, you got to include that. So read your bulletin now. Don't forget the Cap Money course and different things that are there. We'll try to review that toward the end. But I just got excited about starting, so you tell Pastor Matt, I did remember halfway through. Verse 6, for at the window of my house I looked through my lattice and saw among the simple, and I perceived among the youths a young man devoid of understanding. I want to say it's not just youth that are devoid of understanding. There's some older people that have lost it. Hopefully the young ones, the youth, the problem with youth is they lack filters. The problem with our children and our youth is that you and I as adults are accountable to bring filters into their lives. I've got a 5-year-old that questions everything right now. And he says, I'm stronger than you. I can do it my way. I say, yes, you can carry me now. But the challenge is that there are filters in life through experience. How many have some experiences that you wish no one else to ever experience? The hard knocks in life that come along our way are so that we can be challenged and we can pass those riches on to someone else. Thank God for our grandparents. Aren't you glad your grandparent, Chris? Maybe we can spare our grandchildren a little of the pain that we've suffered if they would have an ear. Sometimes we stop our ears, don't we, at wisdom? And we don't want to hear. And this is what the scripture is talking about, a youth, a young man devoid of understanding, lacking filters, passing along the streets near her corner, and he took the path to her house. To me, this is not uncontemplated. This is purposeful. There are sins that sometimes catch us, but there are sins of omission and commission. And this is a sin of commission. This was determined by this young man. He passed the corner. He knew the direction he was taking. He was devoid of understanding, but yet he made a choice. And God challenges me right now that some of you make choices that you are sorry that you have made. The scripture says in verse 9, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark of night. It's not in the light, is it? Why we tell our youth, stay home or get in before midnight. Come in before the dark of night. Make a choice. My heart breaks when I hear these places stay open till 4 in the morning. What can you do at 4 in the morning? Nothing but evil. Let me say it again. Nothing but evil. Because you are opening a door. You are on the wrong side of time. Scripture says, and there a woman met him with an attire of a harlot, a crafty heart. She was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. Teach that one to your youth. Huh? Grandparents, you got something to say. Look at the way of a wayward woman, the way of a wayward young person or a youth is that they don't want to stay at home. There is protection at home. There is a place of someone being able to speak into your life and say, listen, you may not always like the confines, the restriction, but this is your protection. This is where someone is watching after your soul. This is a place where you can go to bed with a clear conscience and not regret it the next morning. And that's great. Too many young people are waking up and they're carrying what they've had the night before. Not just young people, but adults too. At times she was outside, at times in the open square, lurking at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him with an imprudent face. She said to him, I have peace offerings with me. Today I've paid my vows. So I came out to meet you diligently to seek your face, and I found you. Look at the adulterous woman is looking for someone, looking to bring destruction now. Thing is that I marked about this woman was that she's turbulent, willful. Her feet don't stay at home. She's in the streets, the markets. She's at ambush for every corner. She catches and kisses the person that she's trying to entrap. With an imprudent face, she sets the trap. And then she comes to talk religion. Verse 14, I paid the peace offering. I have my peace offering with me. Today I've paid my vows. So I came out to meet you diligently to seek your face, and I found you. Just like a spider weaves its web and puts out a glistening enticement there, this is what she states in verse 16, I've spread my bed with tapestry coverings of Egyptian linen. I perfumed my bed with myrrh alloys and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. For my husband's not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He's taken a bag of money with him and will come home on the appointed day. Verse 21, with her enticing words, with her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. And with her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know it would cost his life. As loving parents and grandparents, we have an accountability to warn. We have an accountability to say there is a way that seemeth right unto a man and a woman, but the ends thereof is destruction. And the Word of God is saying that this woman had a determination. The ones that was described in chapter 5 and 6, we notice maybe they were not such as who we are reading about in chapter 7. We can look at these three different chapters and see a distinction. When we come to chapter 7, we come to a person who has a determination for destruction. Notice this woman is an adulteress. She doesn't like to stay at home. She has a determination to bring somebody down to destruction. She has a purpose. Why do you think they call them cougars? You might not know what a cougar does, but in my country, a cougar is a mountain lion, and a mountain lion seeks but one thing, and that is with stealth to bring some deer down, or if you're in the wrong place, it will bring you down. The stealth of a cat. She says her husband's not at home. He's gone on a journey. He's taken a bag of money. He'll return at the appointed time of the full moon. With the allurement of her lips, she overcomes his conscience and his fears and forces him along. I want to tell you, if you play with sin, it's going to bring you down. There is therefore now no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. Isn't that good news? The Scripture says to us, there's no temptation that's taken us. That's taken from Romans 10, I believe. And that temptation, it's common to man. It doesn't have to take you down, but if you play with it, if you contemplate it, if, as the Word of God says, he yielded to her enticing speech. She painted a beautiful picture. The Word of God says, can you take fire into your bosom and not be burned? And this is what this young man is doing. He's taking an adulterous woman, a woman that ensnares men with a purpose, and he does not realize he is like the ox going to the slaughter. He doesn't realize he's like the bird that hits into a net and is captured. That arrow that is struck into his liver is going to bring him down. Verse 24, now therefore listen to me, my children, pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for she has cast down many wounded, and all were slain by her, were strong men. Her house is the way to death or hell or Hades, descending to the chambers of death. We can't play with sin, church. We can't give it a place. The Bible says to us, confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. If you're being enticed, if you're thinking about something and it's occupying your focus, the more time you give it, the more it wraps its tentacles around your heart. That's why the word of the Lord says to us that we're to confess our faults one to another. We're to have an ability to say, hey, maybe I'm being blindsided by this. I've been thinking about this. This has been my focus. And then we can bring that focus before the Lord, but maybe you have someone dear near to you that you can say, hey, can you test me on this? I'm talking about us looking after one another's souls today. How many want somebody to look after your soul? We're too enclosed. We live in a generation that's me, me, but we don't want to open ourselves to anyone. We don't want to expose our needs or our necessities, because with vulnerability comes a place where someone may judge you. But church, we look after one another. We have a right heart. We can say, listen, there's something that God has an intent, and this isn't just my good idea. Let's go to the Word of God. What does God's Word say about this? Therefore, I'm not bringing my judgments into this. We're bringing us to the Word that's exalted above anybody else's thinking, so that we can compare ourselves and therefore bring it to the light. Because notice, everything that this woman did, she brought from darkness. Hallelujah. I'm glad I can move to the next chapter now. Chapter 8, the excellence of wisdom. How many say hallelujah? Verse 8, does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? Hallelujah. How many have ever fallen in a temptation because you closed your ears to the message that was coming to your heart? You stopped your ears because something was saying, don't go that way. Don't walk that way. Watch out. This is for your pain and sorrow. Wisdom was crying out, watch out. The last time I was able to share in the Word, it says, woe is the man that doesn't have someone there to cry out when you're going through something. Parents, grandparents, don't be afraid to say to your kids and your grandchildren, you're going the wrong way. Oh, I don't want to hurt their feelings. I don't want them upset with me. The Bible says we're to warn a sinner in his way. We are to direct. We're to say, hey, watch out. You're getting close to the edge. Wisdom, she takes her stand on the top of the high hill beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates at the entrance of the city and at the entrance of the doors. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of good understanding heart. Listen, for I'll speak of excellent things. From the opening of my lips will come right things, for my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips, and all my words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. You know, You say, well, why are you persevering? Why are you just reading this? Well, I want you to get the understanding that wisdom is rectitude and it's right thinking, and there's nothing, no shadow of turning. There's no darkness in it. Such a contrast from the last chapter that was saying the person didn't want to stay at home. They were seeking to go out, wandering the streets at twilight. They were seeking for someone to entice. But here's wisdom in the plain of day, at the gates, at the door, saying, come on, come out of it. Wake up. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. If your path's not getting brighter, then you're going the wrong way. So, am I shouting too much again? My daughter said, Pa, you're getting too loud. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness, nothing crooked or perverse in them. They're all plain to him who understands. Have you ever tried to witness to someone and they just don't get it? Have you ever tried to talk to your kids and they just don't get it? You see, we have to pray that they get understanding, because the word of the Lord says, with wisdom, get understanding. Because we can talk till we're blue in the face, and unless they grasp it and take hold of it with understanding, our words fall to the ground. Verse 9 again, for they are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all things one may desire cannot be compared with her. Now, the writer of Proverbs here is saying, above the value of silver, gold, and rubies is to get understanding, to get wisdom. So you can walk out of here the richest people in the world today. Maybe not with your pockets full of gold, silver, or rubies, but you can walk out of this place with understanding. The Bible says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally and upbraids not. In other words, God's not going to punish you because you've asked. God wants you to get wisdom. God wants you to get understanding. He wants you to understand where you're going, what the direction of your footpath is. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine in sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. Notice in verse 15, by me kings reign, rulers decree justice. By me princes rule, nobles, and all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me. And those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, and I may fill their treasury. Let's go to verse 22. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of His way. Before His works of old, I've been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills I was brought forth. While as yet He had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world. When He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He drew a circle on the face of the deep. When He established the clouds above, when He strengthened the fountains of the deep, when He assigned to the sea its limits so that the waters would not transgress His command, when He marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside Him as a master craftsman, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him, rejoicing in His inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. Now, wisdom is saying, I've been around a long time. I love it when my kids say, oh, you've learned a few things in your time, haven't you? You've been around for a while. But I always can go back to this. Wisdom's been around a lot longer. God used wisdom. The wisdom of God is greater than that of Satan. And so if you feel that something has been, you've been set up, I always said, if there's no temptation that's taken man but such as is common to man. You see, the devil, he only paints a temptation in a certain way, and the Bible describes us those temptations, those ways, the pride of life. The ideology of how He approached Eve in the garden. We haven't changed. And the devil hasn't changed his tactics. But you and I need wisdom. We need the counsel of the Holy Spirit. We need the counsel of God. We need the wisdom of God, just as God Himself drew upon wisdom. And as I was thinking about this, wisdom is personified in Jesus Christ. Jesus was there. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. You ask Jesus to come and bring you revelation and give you understanding. If He was with God establishing the depths, before there were fountains, before there were mountains, before there were hills, before anything was on this planet, God the Father received wisdom and counsel on how to place things before He drew a circle on the face of the deep. Before He rejoiced in His inhabited world, and His delight was with the sons of men. Verse 32, now therefore listen to me, my children. For blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear my instructions and be wise. Do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Look at the change of reflection here. Anybody notice it? Beginning of the chapter, wisdom is at the gates, wisdom is at the doors, crying out, raising her voice. But the culmination of this chapter says that you and I need to go to those gates, go to those doors, and seek out wisdom. Not that she's seeking us, but we hear her voice in the faint background, but that we are pursuing hearing the wisdom of God. It says, blessed is that man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. How many want the favor of the Lord? Stand with me, please. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul, and all who hate me love death. We want to find life. We've got to find the wisdom of the Lord. We want to find what our purpose is in life. We want to find our destiny, our direction. We need God's wisdom. God's intent is not that we live in regret. This morning, God's purpose is to lift off any words or curses. And allow the salve of the Holy Spirit to be applied to our hearts. You heard the message last night. I thought the Episcopalian from the States spoke so lovely. And he spoke of it, that there is a balm in Gilead. There is a balm. There is a salve. There's something for an anointing upon our eyes. There is a fire that should burn within us. That is the fire of the Holy Spirit. The anointing that can change and transform us. And the reason we come to church on Sundays is not just because Hebrews chapter 10 says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as it is for some. But the reason we press into God is, as the psalmist says, come and go with me to the house of the Lord. Come and go with me. Where's your heart? Are you here? Are you connected? Are you going to go home and say, what did he talk about? I missed it. Because so fleeting is our life. So fleeting is the words that come across us. It slips away. But church, God calls us to account today. Yesterday can't be changed, but tomorrow is ahead of us. What will we do with today? What will we do with wisdom today? What will we do with what Christ has offered to us by his counsel? Thank you today for your wisdom. We want to find life. Life in your word. Lord, we want to pursue your Holy Spirit to challenge us. Lord, we don't want to have any blind spots where we trip up or where we miss the will of the Lord. I thank you for the counsel and the teaching of your word today. I pray that there'll be a challenge of your Holy Spirit to every heart. A contrast between the adulterous woman and the spirit of wisdom that cries out to say, come aside. Forsake darkness. Pursue the light. Holy Spirit, we thank you for the anointing that breaks the yoke today. Thank you that your word is true. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing between the soul and the spirit. And it's sufficient for every need today. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your word. Give us ears to hear and hearts, Lord, to put in focus what the Spirit and the bride is saying today. With your eyes still closed this morning, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, and today God's wisdom is calling you out of darkness into light, today, wisdom is lifting its voice to you by Jesus Christ to say, come out. Forsake the trap. The arrow that pierced through the ox liver or the heart is what that destructive thing is wishing to do to you. There is life. There is a way of escape. And if you would like to accept Jesus, find his way of peace this morning, and I'm going to invite you to raise your hand all across this congregation. Never received Jesus as Savior, just raise your hand today. See those hands? If you're a believer today, I want to ask you a question. Are you playing with sin? Are you letting enticing words come to your ears and not shutting them down? God doesn't say he's going to turn the volume down. He's going to say, here's the way of escape. Go. Here's the way of escape. Go. Just like Joseph had to forsake his garment and run from Potiphar's wife. He heard the word, run! If you're standing here today and the Spirit of God saying, run. Run from temptation. Run from that strategy of the evil one. Because the strategy of the evil one is to, as he builds a house, as one would build a house, he has construction plans for your demise. He has construction plans to bring you down. He's not playing. He plays for keeps. So as a believer today, if you're needing some things cut off your life, I'm going to ask you to respond to the Holy Spirit today. Respond to his voice. Respond to his loving call. I'd like to invite husbands and wives to take hands right now, please. If you're a single, it's a brother or sister next to you, a sister that you're sitting next to that you have a relationship, will you just take their hand? All across this congregation, will you just find someone to take their hand and just pray. We're going to pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you today for your word. Lord, we ask that you would help us to walk godly in Christ Jesus. We ask that your wisdom would protect us, Lord, because a message like this doesn't come simply as a warning. We don't know what lies ahead, Lord. There's days, there's hours. It says that the very elect will be challenged. So we pray for one another today. Will you pray for the person on your right, your left? You just pray, Holy Spirit, keep my brother, keep my sister from temptation. Lord, I pray by the Holy Spirit today that the wisdom will be their portion, Lord, that they will run in and grab discretion and prudence and understanding how to walk, how to live, to get understanding of the Word of God. Will you pray that? Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. I just feel in my spirit this morning, if you are here and you have a wayward daughter, a wayward son, you have someone in your family, and you know the devil right now has set an embankment against their lives, has a destructive word that he's trying to bring about in their lives. I'm going to ask you to come to this altar today, and we want to pray for people. We want to pray that the wisdom of God breaks through. The Bible says the devil takes them snare, captivated. God wants to break the curse. We believe it. Faithful is God. He's a faithful God. To say, Holy Spirit, we're praying. We're praying right now. Mention that person's name before the throne of God right now. Just raise it up. Lord, by your Holy Spirit, we pray for these individuals. We pray for mothers. We pray for fathers. We pray for sons and daughters, Lord, today. We pray that you break the snare of the evil one. We pray that the wisdom of God, the counsel of your Holy Spirit will come. Come, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we pray for enlightenment. We pray for the voice of wisdom to cry at the gate, to cry out to these young ones, Lord, that you would bring these ones devoid of understanding, these ones that are walking in darkness and being snared by the enemy. We pray today by your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you will break forth, Holy Spirit. Gracious God, we love you. We love your presence, Lord. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you. We love what you're doing, Lord. You would that none would perish, but that all would come to eternal life. We pray today that, Lord, you will snatch these dear ones from the gates of hell. Take hold of their lives, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for each one that's come to the altars today, Lord, as they lift up their loved one, they lift up their son, their daughter, their mother, their father, their grandparents, their aunties, their uncles, whoever they may be. Spirit of God, use these dear ones to speak your truth. Use these dear ones, Lord, to speak boldly with words of wisdom and counsel of the Holy Spirit. If they lack wisdom, let them ask of God, who will not upbraid them, Lord, who will build them up in their most holy faith. We bless today.
Your presence, Lord. Oh, I love you. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I love you.
We love you, Jesus.
Oh, I love your presence.
Sing it out.
Your presence, Son of my love,
Holy One.
Oh, I love your presence,
Holy One.
Son of my
love,
Holy One. Oh, I love you, Jesus, Son of my
As you've come to the altar today, now I want you to just give God a thank you, will you? Will you just thank him for the breakthrough? Thank him for breaking that temptation over your loved one. Just pray this morning. Thank you, God. You're a faithful God. Use us. We love you, Lord. We love you. Jesus, you're enough.